Tonight we're going to be taking a look at the scriptures. You know, we are considering about growing up in our Lord. We're on our daily walk with our Lord, if you will, as a sub topic, and sub to that is prayer. And it's interesting. You take a look at the verses of that song Brother Jamie led us in. Those are all different aspects and reason for prayer. And you know, we've been given a great privilege and blessing in prayer, and we need to engage in prayer to our Lord. We talked about last Wednesday about hearing from our Lord, from His Word, and studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God. And all that is as our Lord is speaking to us, and may we not be the child that, as the one in authority speaks to us, that we jerk away. Any of you that are parents or grandparents, you've had that happen with your children. They've tried to jerk away from you. Natalie did that when she was real little. And Clarissa and I were reminiscing about that. I'll tell that on Natalie while she's not here tonight. Clarissa's videotaping her with, you remember the old VHS recorders. And she's little. I mean, she's a year or so, somewhere in through there. And she's been showing out for the video recorder. Clarissa says it's time. Oh, she's talking to somebody on the phone. That's what it is. It's time to hang up and go. And so she begins to reach as she's recording her. And as she reaches for the phone, Natalie says, "Back off, Mom, back off." That doesn't need to be us, does it? And we got that on tape. We can show that to you sometime. But that's, you know, the Lord's speaking to us. And we don't need to be saying to the Lord, back off, or turning our shoulder away. But we need to listen to our Lord, and we do need to speak to our Lord, too, in prayer. We've got a lot to pray about, don't we? We do. As a church, we've had times, and we always have times, it's never inappropriate for us to not be in a state of pray without ceasing. We have got many things to pray for. Seems like right now we've got an abundance of things, folks, to be praying for. One thing I want to mention, as you and I look to be a help one to another, as we pray one for another and our lives are here melded together and cross here in the church, and just different things that we come to understand about one another and pray for one another, myself as your pastor and the relationship, the communication that you and I have from time to time, just individually and one-on-one, you know, we pray one for another. And we should. We should be praying one for another. We pray for those that are in great difficulty and trial, that the Lord would uplift them and sustain them. We pray for those that are ill, you know, physically sick, that the Lord would grant help and healing. For those that are facing decisions, that just don't know what to do, that the Lord would give wisdom about which way to go. As we pray one for another and supplicate one for another, and those that we know of, that the Lord would change hearts. We need to know that we do need to pray for those things. But we do need to know that even though you and I can't reach a heart, our Lord knows how to reach a heart. And how the Lord works and what the Lord works in is, we can't know the detail of it. But if you've been praying for somebody, and you've been praying about a heart thing to be worked in somebody, and there's great trial and great issue that comes upon them, I tell you what, keep on praying for them. Because the Lord knows how to get the attention of folks. Our people always labored and in trial and difficulty because of sin. No, not always. Sometimes it's the case. But as we looked at recently over there in John, Lord, who did this sin? Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The Lord said neither one. It can happen because of sin. The Lord can take different things and because of sin, use them to get a hold of people. But sometimes life just happens. Sometimes the Lord allows or brings things along for the sake of growth for his children. Sometimes the Lord brings things or allows things to come along to get people's attention. So again, as we pray one for another, and we pray for those that we know, we pray for those disciplined from the church membership, I tell you what, we don't need to forget them. We don't need to forget them. We need to pray for them and pray that the Lord will work in them and help them and understand when a grievous or a heavy thing comes upon them. I tell you what, don't have the attitude of, the Lord's getting you. But I tell you what, fear and pray that the Lord will help them and bring them through it. Okay? Let us know that. And let us understand what the Lord chastens his own. He said, as children, if we're without chastisement, then we don't have any father. We don't have a heavenly father. We're not sons. And so, in all different aspects of prayer, let us remember about those things. May the Lord help us in it. Matthew chapter 6. Let's just take a look tonight and about prayer, about this of prayer. Us speaking to God, us petitioning God. Don't get tripped up on the word. I think in time that there have been those that have got tripped up on this word of prayer and thinking that it's something that it's not. And let's take a look at that here. Our daily walk with our Lord, we need to be listening to the Lord through His Word, reading it, studying it, meditating upon it, gaining ground with it, consuming it, eating it. However it is that you can get that done, do it, okay? And then speak to the Lord. As we read over there in Habakkuk, the brother declared as he wrote that book. Let me just read that to you, if I can find it here. Bear with me. I've got these pages all. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch and see what he, the Lord, will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And so there's this dialogue, there's this communication. In Matthew chapter 6, on the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ declares in verse number 5, Matthew 6, 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Verse number 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." What is prayer? What is prayer? Well, you know what? We know that prayer is not for show. You know, we engage in public prayer in our services, and the brethren are called on to pray. I tell you what, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to have public prayer unto our Lord. And understand what's going on there. That brother that's been called on to pray in our church, he is the one that's been called on to deliver and direct a prayer unto God that we may pray together. That we may pray together. Yes, Lord. He may mention something and likely will mention something that's at hand. Maybe something that's been mentioned in the services and brought people up to speed or up to date, or a thing that we know amongst our membership, or as the Lord leads, so many things, so many ways that the brother could be led to pray. It's also when the ladies are together in your all's prayer class and maybe one is called upon to pray. That one is directing the prayer collectively of the group. It's not to be just spectator, but for all hearts to be directed to those issues that the Lord has led that one to pray in. And then you know what? In your heart, you may supplement with some things that you know are connected. And you may affirm, you should affirm unto the Lord, yes, Lord, we need you to work in that. We need you to help us in that. We need you to get involved in that situation. That's what happens in public prayer, but prayer is just not for public prayer. There needs to be some personal prayer. Just like worship. We meet together for corporate worship, for public collective worship in our church. And we should. But you know what? There's no substitute for it, and it is not a substitute for private worship. We need to be privately worshiping our Lord too. Privately praising Him and going to His Word. So many things involved with that of worship. But in worship, we obey Him and we adore Him as we see. We learn from Him. We put what He tells us to work in our lives. We petition Him in a need and we thank Him when He works and delivers. Prayer is not for show. Oh, and may the Lord help us, brethren, sisters in your prayer class or in the classes that you teach, that be the only time that we pray. When do you pray? How often do you pray? Well, do you pray often? Meeting a number is not the goal, is it? But being in communication with our Lord. Prayer is not for show. Prayer, we see here at this last verse, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. We're going to talk a little bit about that here in a near point. It's not about empty repetitions of some canned prayer to say, but prayer is to be from the heart. When do you pray? Use not vain repetitions. That's the way the heathen work. They think that they shall be heard, verse number 7, for their volume. I'm talking about number, not loudness. The Pharisees were that way. They prayed loud. Prayer is not for show, is not made up of repetitions, and it's not much speaking. What's it say? When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corners of the streets for show, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. When our heart is not right about our prayer, especially public prayer, as the Lord mentions here, we have our reward right there. If we're looking for the accolades of the brethren, accolades of the sisters, we have our reward. I tell you what, we're looking to reach the Lord, God Almighty, with our petition. That should be the desire of the heart. But thou, verse number 6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Ah, Brother Jim, we shouldn't be praying publicly. No, 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 no. What the Lord is telling is that He's saying here that there needs to be more prayer than public prayer. He says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. He doesn't say not to pray publicly. But He says, here is where the source of prayer comes from, where the public prayer comes from. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Does that mean clear out the shoes in the bottom, pull back the clothes, and get them all pulled out in your little stool or your chair inside your closet there? Well, maybe. Do I have to be in a closet? No. But you know what? There needs to be times we get by ourselves and pray. Us and the Lord. If it needs to be in the closet, if the closet works for you, then be about it. As we said about Bible reading and Bible studying, by the consumption of the Bible, make sure you are praying to your Lord. Seriously. Just like not just going over the words in the Bible and reading it by rote and not containing anything. Not just uttering a prayer by rote and getting all the bases covered and forget what was even dealt with. But from the heart, receive, and from the heart, speak unto our Lord. He says, get serious about it. Enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door there alone, pray unto thy Father which is in secret. He said, you know what? There's a blessing in this. You really get down and ask and petition and thank and worship your Lord by speaking to Him. He says, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's a promise that it's there. The reward is not going to come from a public display. But a reward is there. And you know what? If there were a reward or not, the Lord does do that. He's due that prayer. And of course, we have burdens. When we're faced with that trial, when we're faced with that issue, that sudden thing that comes upon us, do we run and figure out what we can do, or are we talking to the Lord immediately about what the Lord can do about it? That needs to be our response. In the same message over here in Matthew chapter 7, we see here, I believe, a description or a definition of what prayer is. Again, don't stumble over the word. Don't think it's got to be exactly formatted a certain way for it to be valid or void with the Lord. I tell you what, it needs to come from the heart. And we need to understand some things in prayer, which we'll see. But in Matthew 7, verse number 7, what's Jesus say? Ask, and it shall be given you. Now, what do you do when you ask? You realize that the word ask and the word prayer are synonyms? That's what it means to pray. An element of prayer is to ask. Lawyers make a prayer of the court when they want a certain thing. That's the language that they use. And so, don't get stumbled up about the word prayer. Prayer is you and I, speaking to our Lord about what's at hand, about Him. Lord, I praise Your name that You're great. Does that trouble you? Does it trouble you and I to brag on the Lord? I tell you what, He is worthy to be bragged upon. He's worthy. Because he is due that. He is to be adored. He is to be praised. That's what that word praise means, is to proclaim His greatness, His goodness, His holiness, His love, His majesty, His graciousness, His favor upon us, His mercifulness, His grandness in being able to create and make us and care for us and work in us and send it. He's worthy of it all. And we need to be using our mouths to do so. That's part of prayer. Our Lord is honored and glorified when we have a need that we go to Him first. We go to Him first. Because you know what? We are weak, and He is mighty. And He is glorified when we quit trying to figure things out ourselves with our puny little bit of power, and we go to Him to ask Him to work, and then we take what He gives us and go do what we have before us to do. Ask, and it shall be given you. Prayer. An element of prayer simply means to ask our Lord. In John chapter 15, to whom do we pray? I think it was Brother Stephen, not too long ago, did a study in the adult Sunday school class about prayer. And so, for the sake of those maybe that weren't here for that, and just for us all to have these things reaffirmed, we just want to take a look at a few points about it. To whom do we pray? John chapter 15. Understand the structure of prayer. There is this, as a child of God, there is this that we have. In John 15, verse number 16, our Lord Jesus Christ says, ye have not chosen me, speaking to the disciples, speaking to us, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. That's the directive of the Lord unto His children. That's the expectation. That's the design. And that your fruit should remain. There should be some longevity to that fruit. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. So we pray unto our Father, our Heavenly Father. Now, if you pray to Jesus or pray the Holy Spirit, God is one. He is one. It's not incorrect at all, because God is one. But this is what the Lord Jesus has given us, that we might understand how the family is set up and understand how the relationship is. We pray unto our Father. We pray unto our Father that sent the Son. That is the structure that we've been given. But if you pray to God, you're praying to the Lord. But I tell you what, if you honor the Lord in the structure, He is more honored and glorified, I believe, because that's what we've been instructed to do. So we pray unto the Father, and He says here that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. And so He speaks here of asking. Some would say, I ask the Lord for so much, I'm just ashamed to ask for any more. Well, I'll tell you what, if you get ashamed about asking, before you go to the next round of asking, do some thanking. Do some praising. Do some review and praise unto God from your heart about the attributes of God. And worship Him. And then go ahead and keep on asking. Because He expects us to come to Him. He knows how we're made. In John 16, verse number 23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Talking about when He is taken from them, from us. So our Lord Jesus is not physically with us. He's just as much with us in spirit and living within us and here amongst the church. We talked about that here not too long ago. He's just as much with us. We just can't see Him with our eyes or touch Him. But He is no less here. His presence doesn't appeal to the flesh. But our Lord is just as much here. We need to get a hold of that. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. He's speaking church capacity. And I think as the children of God, we can take that too, but we need to understand the context as church capacity. Our Lord will give us the answer. In the Gospels, the Lord tells us that we need to pray in faith that we receive those things that we ask for. And of course, James qualifies that we don't need to ask amiss. We have great temptation there. But I tell you what, I think the answer is if we ask for something that glorifies our Lord, not us, but glorifies Him, He will answer, and He will answer according to His will. And as we pray always, the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ is that we pray, Lord, we need you to work. Fill in the blank. Nevertheless, thy will be done. We always submit to the will of the Father. Because you know what? Sometimes you and I, most times, you and I don't know the timing. Amen? We just don't know the timing that's best. Sometimes we think we know the what. And you know what? We don't know the what most of the time. But the Lord does. But you know what? We are to use what the Lord has given us and use His Word and use what hear and listen to the leading and working of the Spirit in our hearts and together as the Lord's church. And the Lord does give wisdom, doesn't He? Now, we are not wise of our own selves, but we need to hear what the Lord gives. And so, again, another place that there's a balance there. The Lord Jesus says, "What? So verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask in the Father in my name, He will give it you. He will give it you." In Luke chapter 11, we have here the model prayer. And that's what it is. It's referred to as the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord did give this, but it's an example of prayer. It touches upon the aspects of prayer. And this is that we might knowledgeably pray unto our Lord. That's the reason He's given us this. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, and it came to pass that as He was praying, the Lord Jesus, in a certain place when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray. You know what? It's not a bad prayer. Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me about prayer, Lord. Go to the Bible. I tell you what, in that study in the Bible, go to the Bible and get that concordance out. Remember I showed you that the other night? And look and study up about prayer. I tell you what, a great study in the Scriptures is to go through the Scriptures and dig out the prayers of the Lord's people. I'm talking about when they got down and Hannah said, "I want a child, Lord." It tells there what she prayed. And many, many others. Teach us to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. Teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. So amongst the children of God and in the church of the Lord, this is something that was desired. And he said unto them, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted unto us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You'll find another account of this in Matthew chapter 6, there in the Sermon on the Mount. We see here our Lord in this model prayer, right off the bat, says, "When ye pray, say, Our Father." And I tell you what, we see that, we've learned that even from our own here in churches, folks we've been exposed to that have been in the churches before us. And you'll hear brethren start off in prayer, "Our Father, our Heavenly Father, dear Lord." And that's right. We're not praying to false gods. And we're not praying to ourselves. We're praying to our Heavenly Father, our Lord. And considering about this part of our study, something occurred to me. The Lord brought this to heart and mind. And I tell you what, when we talk about universalism, I'll use that term from time to time, universalism, that is the same, that is a synonym for Catholicism, universalism. Because that's what Catholicism means, is from everywhere. From everywhere. And that's where Catholicism has taken its doctrine. That's where Babylon took its doctrine and its worship from. Okay? Going all the way back to Babel. So understand that Catholicism, known as a religious organization in our day, it's the same as universalism. And universalism is all man-based and will borrow from anywhere that suits a man. Okay? So in particular, Catholicism in our day, have you ever heard about they have this thing of penance? Penance? Let me read you a definition for penance. And I got this particular definition from Brother Webster's dictionary from 1828. And not that it would matter about this word, but I just wanted to mention that to you, since that dictionary is a good dictionary to take and get meanings of English words, old English words, from our King James translation. Penance. The suffering, labor, or pain to which a person voluntarily subjects himself, or which is imposed on him by authority as a punishment for his faults, or as an expression of penitence or repentance, such as fasting, flagellation, that meaning the beating of oneself or the beating of one by another, wearing of chains, which is known to be in Europe, I believe, in South America. You see that from Catholicism and its followers. Penance, did you know this, is one of the seven sacraments of the Romish Church. Penance. Now, you might not get all that out of Webster's today, but back there, the brother was honest, and he gives that from which that word stems, okay? So penance is payment and punishment. Do you know what Catholicism does? Catholicism takes the model prayer and uses the model prayer as punishment for its people when they go to confession and they confess their sins to their priest and he tells them what they have to pay, penance, to get over the hump of the transgression that they've committed. I tell you what, watch out for universalism. It will bite you and hurt you and yours in every way. Is prayer punishment? That's the point. Is prayer punishment? But isn't that something, how universalism, Catholicism, has taken prayer and made it a punishment? The priest will declare unto that one that came in that to confession, we're not to confess our faults, our sins rather, to a man for forgiveness. But they do, and in confession they come into a special place designed for that, and the priest will tell them how many Our Fathers to say. Penance, the payment for their sin, is a model prayer given by the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, universalism, the way of man, will take anything and everything and ruin it. Prayer is not punishment. But I tell you what, for many, it's been subtly, a bill of goods have been fed that it is, isn't it? If I do well, I don't have to recite the model prayer. Isn't that something? Isn't that something, how Satan works? And that's what's in the middle of it, is Satan. And so we are not instructed to repeat this of Luke 11 or over there at Matthew 6, but to understand that it's a template for prayer, and it's not punishment to pray. It's a blessing that mortals like you and I have been made and been changed, been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's design and that salvation and what He's provided for us is that we can petition the Creator of all, our Heavenly Father, and praise Him and worship Him, speak to Him and He'll hear us, and ask Him for the things that we need. It's not punishment. It's a blessing. And don't ever look at prayer as a punishment. May the Lord help us in that. Here's an acronym to remember the key elements of prayer. Okay, so let's take a look at this. The acronym is ACTS, A-C-T-S. And so let's take a look at this and we'll close for tonight. In Psalm 107, for A, adoration. Adoration, elements of prayer. Cover these elements as you pray. I tell you what, we need to pray with wisdom and understanding. The Lord brings us along. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. The psalmist declares in Psalm 107, verse number 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. See, there's an admiring of His goodness. And for His wonderful works, there's an admiration for what He has done to the children of men. Adoration unto our Lord. Psalm 51, the C in ACTS is confession. Our confession is not to a man. But as children of God, our confession is to the Lord. Sinners are commanded by God Almighty to repent of their sins before Him and unto Him, not unto men. Our confession is unto the Lord. Now, I understand there is an element about church discipline that a wayward child of God that has been dealt with by the church needs to come and repent before the church too, but not first. Second, they need to repent before the Lord first. But the universalism would have those that follow it to believe the other. In Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart. Confession. Lord, here David, he says in verse number 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse number 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. My heart has not been clean, and my spirit has not been right. And I confess that unto you. Psalm 66, verse number 18. Confession. Confession of our sins before unto our Lord. If I regard iniquity in my heart, justify it. How do we regard it? Invent it. Dwell on it and rejoice in it. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Unrepentant, unconfessed sins. It's a wall. It's a chasm between us and our Lord. Adoration, confession. Hebrews chapter 13. The Lord's people always need to be a thankful people. I'm thankful for our brethren that pray and without fail they thank the Lord. You thank the Lord for His goodness towards us as His people and as His church. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. There's that in prayer. You praise the Lord. You praise the Lord by yourself, not just in services. And I tell you what, you can do it mowing the grass. You can do it cleaning the house. You can do it doing the dishes. You can do it cooking. You can do it changing the oil. Let's not leave the fellows out. You can do it working. Driving down the road, I can't help but think about, when we touch on prayer, I can't help but think about Brother Danny. He would pray, you remember that? He'd pray, said, you can pray even going down the road. Don't close your eyes. If you haven't ever met Brother Danny, I tell you what, he's a blessing. Don't close your eyes. You can pray to the Lord. You can pray to the Lord with your eyes wide open. We can pray to our Lord. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and S, supplication. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, prayer. I tell you what, do well that our prayer life, I believe we do well that our prayer life would be as if we would have a friend with us that is right there beside us in the house, in our work, in our car, as we work at home, go to school, whatever it is, and we would speak to the Lord just as we do our friend. He sees what's going on. He knows what's going on within and without. He, the Lord, no doubt at times brings things to our heart and minds. We begin to think about somebody. You know, it's different to think than to pray. Don't think that thinking about your loved one being sick is prayer. You got to make a conscious effort. Lord, please help them. You know what they're going through right now. And I tell you what, they've been through some heavy, heavy grief. Father, help them. You know what? Understand that the biggest part of our prayers are going to be help. Help. Lord, forgive me for that. I lost my cool a while ago, and I know it, and you know it. And forgive me for that. Just as an example. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18, pray always, praying always with all prayer and supplication. What that word supplication is talking about is, I know you have the need, and you know what? No doubt you are praying for the need, and I'm praying for the need or the help or the thing that you've asked me to pray with you about, too. I'm going there, you're praying for yourself, and your brothers and sisters are going there and praying for you, too. You know what? For those that are unsaved, we need to supplicate for them too. Lord, I tell you what, Lord, rescue them. Break them down, Lord. Break them down. Break them down and draw them near and help them to see their sin in Jesus. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that lives within us and is making, carrying those prayers back and forth and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I tell you what, the more children of God that we meet and know about, the more responsibility we have to pray. I tell you what, yeah, it's deep water because it's big and it's needful, but you know what? It's not punishment. It's blessing. A blessing indeed. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll close. Here's one. Here's a passage that'll touch on that T and on that S. Acts. The elements of prayer, the key elements of prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. In Philippians 4, verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, every piece, speck of life, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So supplication, thanksgiving are both there. Let your requests, that asking, be made known unto God. Prayer. What a blessing. What a great gift that you and I have been given in prayer. We'll never wear out the circuits. And I tell you what, they never go down. AT&T goes down sometimes, doesn't it, Brother Mark? But not the circuit that we have to our Lord. I tell you what, doesn't require batteries, doesn't need TVA. And you know what? Not one word is missed. You know what? You can pray without even moving your lips from your heart. It does well, I think, to get off in that closet and get by yourself and pray out loud, too. We can pray from our heart, too. And the Lord hears. May the Lord help us that we be a praying people unto our God. What do you think? A gift without price, given to someone that cannot do this themselves, but yet that person rarely, if ever, uses it. It's kind of like the Lord Jesus being with us here within and us never fellowshipping with Him, huh? It's kind of along that line. May we use this great gift of prayer, again, for the honor and glory of our Lord.